Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. My guest today is Kyle Russell, who's going to help us understand the amazing, incredible power of using crystals for healing work. I fell in love with crystals myself during the early days of the New Age movement in the late 1980s. During that time, I was working at a New Age bookstore in Northampton, Massachusetts called Beyond Words Bookshop. It was a fun place to work during the dawn of the New Age. They sold all the cool new books, which I got to read, and they also did lectures. And so I got to meet a lot of the writers whose books I was reading, and they sold a ton of crystals. So my favorite job in the store was to dust and rearrange the crystals. I remember unpacking boxes of them and thinking they were like candy. I wanted to take them all home and eat them or play with them or do something fun with them. And that was the point that I started becoming really interested in studying vibrational medicine, which is something that I still love today. So the basic premise of vibrational medicine is that we work with things that have a strong frequency and vibration of their own. And when we interact with that object or material, our own frequency changes to match that due to due to resonance and entrainment, which just means that things tend to vibrate together. So it might be gemstones, flower essences, essential oils, or homeopathy, which are all examples of vibrational medicine. So let's say you're working with gemstones and you put a certain stone in your hand. If you're doing another healing on another person, you might put it on their chakra. Then what happens next is that chakra will begin to resonate with the stone and hopefully come into balance. Since I was a psychic, I always favored gemstones that would ground me or were really good at psychic protection. And I remember filling my pockets with tumbled pieces of obsidian, lodestone, and garnets, my favorites. But you might also have ones that you might choose ones to help you open your heart and release grief, heal a tear in your energy field, or activate your dreams and intuition. And just a note to myself here that if you're super psychic, you might not want to with a huge, giant chunk of amethyst under your pillow. Just saying. So there really is something for everyone to learn about gemstones. They're just so fun and yummy. Like I said, like candy. And this leads me to my guest today, Kyle Russell. Kyle's a healer who works on many levels and dimensions. He's definitely the crystal guy out here in Boston where I live. So you're gonna find all the best crystals from him. And he does what seems to me to be a combination of crystal healing, psychic work, and shamanism. Is that about right, Kyle? And welcome to Miracle of Healing.
Sure. You ready for me to jump in?
Yeah, jump on in.
Fantastic. First, I want to thank you. It's really a pleasure and a privilege to be a part of your show and the sort of history and tradition of speakers you've brought onto the air. And I really liked your introduction going back to the same time that I got into crystals at the end of the 80s.
Cool.
Yeah, it was quite something. I won't get into the whole details of it. I was thinking about this earlier today when I was looking forward to our conversation and thinking, well, I don't want to get into this on a first date. But what it was a very intense experience that ensued from me being gifted a piece of moldavite from the great author Robert Simmons, who has become quite a name in this whole field.
Wow.
So I imagine you came across his books from when you were working at Beyond Words there in Northampton.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, anyway, hit me like a ton of bricks, and I sort of downloaded a bunch of information unconsciously or unwillingly almost But after this thing happened in 1987, I suddenly knew all kinds of stuff about crystals, and I immediately got into working with people and also buying and selling them, because once you recognize what incredible tools they are, there's like, I certainly got an insatiable appetite for learning about them and acquiring them and trading them and just basically being in relationship with them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been great. And I did a bunch of other things also in tandem with the crystal world. And in the recent years, what I've done is I've come back to it with a vengeance, because I realized that you don't live forever, and it's time to really share what I have to offer and what I know about crystals with people who are also interested. It feels like we're experiencing a real resurgence of interest in crystals right now, just like how it was during the harmonic convergence. And there's a lot of excitement from people who want to learn more and be with them and understand them and utilize them in their own lives.
And what are some ways that people might use them in their lives? If maybe some of our listeners aren't that are working with crystals. So kind of what's the deal about them? How do we use them?
Sure, that's an excellent question. And I find there are three sort of gateways into the soul when it comes to working with crystals. One is sight, one is touch, and one is your imagination. And basically you work with these three sort of receptors when you work with crystals, and you use them based on what you said in your intro, where things have a strong resonance, and each of the different power stones do have a stronger resonance than, say, a pebble you might find in your driveway. And so because they have that stronger resonance, your sort of task and challenge is to identify what that is and then how that can be useful to you. So, for example, carnelian is a stone that has strong resonance for the inner workings of the body, specifically through the gateway of the second chakra or the belly. And so people who have belly issues or who are struggling with or out of touch with some of the inner workings of their own biology can use carnelian as a sort of a gateway into attuning to that frequency and that energy center in their own body. So it's useful as a tool, as a way of activating, galvanizing, sort of fine-tuning, focusing in on certain different energies. And I believe that there are stones that are intimately connected with all of the chakras. I call those the five element stones. And then the sixth element are all the stones that aren't particularly attached to the body, that are sort of wild cards or free agents or open channels, like, for example, selenite is one of those. It's not specifically attached to a part of the body, although it can be used as a connector to any part of the body, and it also is a connector up into the astral planes and the whole higher chakras. That kind of helped steer the conversation.
That's really cool. So you said sight, and so that would be like when we look at the crystal, we might have an experience, and when
right.
we touch
I
it,
mean,
we might
there
too.
When I was first really sort of trying to systematize this, I thought about axes of analysis, ways of understanding a crystal, and there's a bunch of them. And when you look at it, when you touch it, when you feel it, there are things like, what's its color? Is it in this color group or that color group? Is it translucent or is it opaque, or is there no light coming through it? Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it expensive? Is it cheap? Is it rare or is it common? And all of these different axes, I have a sort of built-in understanding about it so that I can look at any stone that I find out there and come to some conclusion about it using what I call the language of crystals or the crystal concentrics language of crystals. And this is all my own, my of my own creation, or rather my own manifestation, because I don't follow or read any of the books that are out there about crystals. And when I do, I usually get kind of frustrated because I feel like they're not in resonance with me and with the teaching or the learning that I've experienced.
Wow. So you really have a relationship with the crystals, that they're talking to you, or they're communicating their essence to you and sort of explaining themselves to you in a very unique way.
That is absolutely correct. And it's almost like, and you probably know this better than anyone, being psychic and being able to pick up on presences in a person's life or in their past or their future. It's like these are voices that speak to you. For me, when I'm around crystals, I automatically detect the energies of different ones. And certainly if I'm trying to pick out a crystal, I will know which one it is pretty quickly. And then I know whether this is a crystal that has to be with me in my personal collection, or it's something that I want to use on sessions or in meditations or in classes, or whether it's a piece that I can part with and put on sale.
Mm. I bet you have a pretty impressive collection.
I do. I'd welcome you to come to my showroom, because it's kind of outstanding. When you've worked with crystals for this many years and you've collected that many, what happens is that your collection and your selection actually spans decades. And so there are things that used to be available that you can't find anymore unless you walk into my showroom.
Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people who sell crystals are selling the crystal of the day or whatever's cheapest and most available. And so what happens is they lose sight of or no longer stock some of the really special pieces that I think everyone should at least have a chance to look at and touch and feel.
I just totally had this image when you were talking about the crystals being like books and you being like a librarian or a collector of, you know, special and rare volumes.
That is absolutely true. I'm a keeper of certain types of stones. There are certain types of stones that I think are incredibly powerful that are underutilized, either because people don't get how great they are, or they're too rare and expensive, or they're hard to find. And I'll just name a few of them. Real citrine, for example, smoky quartz, rhodochrosite, sujalite, jade, real nephrite jade, and even the new jade. I have more than most people have. And I take it as a real sort of responsibility to be carrying these crystals for the right person down the line, or for posterity or whatnot. And also teaching about them is really important to me now. That's why I give the classes. I do lots of stuff in person, but I also do a monthly webinar in which I either do a slideshow or I show people crystals. And I've just been going through my YouTube archive, and there's so much footage that I've put out there just on these topics.
Well, geez, I hope you're writing a book or doing something to collect this knowledge that you have.
I appreciate your hope and suggestion there. I started by making what I call the Human Crystal Energy Zones poster, and then I graduated, and that showcased it was four elements at the time, but now it's five elements. That includes basically the root chakra up through the belly and the solar plexus and the heart, voice, and source, I call it, when you combine everything from the lower brain up into the astral planes. But you're absolutely right. A book is necessary. I've started one, but I haven't sort of buckle down and say, you know what, I'm going to finish this year. And my fantasy is that next year is that year in which I do that.
Good. I hope you do it, because I want to read it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I really, really look forward to it. And just to go back a little bit to your first question about how people can use crystals practically, I get questions all the time. People want crystals. Actually, probably the top one is for protection and boundaries, and I have some unique theories about, you know, which stones are useful for that. But I find that one of the main things that distinguishes me is that I'm not that excited about prescriptive use of crystals. That is to say, you have this problem, you use this crystal, and like a drug, it'll just go into your system and fix everything. I find that a much too simplistic perspective, and I think that people's problems are complex, and you have to deal with them. You have to really take them seriously and get down with them and understand them before you make any type of prescription like that, and that way you can know what will be more useful instead of just what will be topically or superficially helpful.
Take two smoky quartz and call me in the morning?
Exactly. In fact, smoky quartz is a fantastic prescription for anything, but since you mentioned it and I mentioned it, people talk a lot about EMF protection and how do I detoxify. And smoky quartz, I've found, is superior as a detoxifier and as a, I call it ultimately the forgiveness stone, because it's able to transmute some of the emotional negativity that we accrue and transmute it and release it, enable you to release it. But it's more effective if you use it in combination with some other stones or with a private healing session or in a meditation, which is guided by someone. And this is something else you mentioned. I just changed the little tag that I use for my profile on Facebook. I had used a few different things. I think it was Crystal Connoisseur at first, and then I switched to Crystal Guru, and now I've arrived at something that I feel more comfortable with, which is simply Crystal Guide.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I just pulled that one out of my hat, but that is...
Yeah, no, it's already up there, and it's perfect, because...
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Well, maybe it was your psychic abilities picking up on that.
So if you were going to do a healing, you know, with crystals, well, like I've seen sort of old school, like where somebody lies on a table and the practitioner puts crystals on them and sort of rainbowy, like the chakra colors match. And I imagine that what you're doing is much deeper. So can you talk to us a little bit about how a healing with
Absolutely.
You would work?
Absolutely. And this is how it is. Basically, the idea is I'm not a reader in the sense of seeing through the veil things that are not otherwise visible. I'm the type of reader who reads by inquiry. So I ask a person specific questions about where they're at, and that might be inspired by impressions that I get about them or any kind of presenting issue that they come to me with. So somebody says, you know, I'm having a really hard time at work, or I'm having relationship problems, or I'm really stressed out all the time. You know, there's a number of different sort of presenting issues that someone comes to me with, and I run with that, and I immediately, based on what they first present, will pick a couple of crystals that will maybe bring them down a notch, calm them down, soothe them, and instead of laying them on their body, I just put them in their hands. I'll use two of the same crystal, left and right, and that sort of takes them to another place. And then at that point, what we're doing is we're sort of going through a set of stages to get to a deeper place, which eventually, when they're relaxed enough, if this is a full-length private session, they will lie down, and I will create sacred space around them. And then either we do a succession of stones held in hand, or some stones get rested on the body. But I've seen photographs of people with like 50 stones on their body. Right. And I'm like, that's part of what I rebel against when I see it in books, is because that's such a cacophony of energies that the person who's having that done to them is not able to be in a conscious, participatory relationship with the stones that they're working with, or that the healer is working with them.
Yeah, I can't really imagine that, because I find really powerful stones a little bit overwhelming, you know, and to have one or two that I could really concentrate on seems nice, but to have so many might just, I don't know, stir the pot a little too much, I guess.
Exactly. I totally agree. And that's why I like laying it on nice and easy, and also explaining each stone and why it's there, and making sure that the person is ready to receive that energy on their body. And also, I often like, I'll say, I want this to go on your solar plexus, but can you just take it and place it where it rests most comfortably on your body? It's a real participatory and collaborative teamwork type of thing. That's why that's one of the things that I sort of resist in some of the other teachings, is that I tell people this is a participatory sport. You don't just come in here, lie down, like, say, for example, as I've experienced sometime with acupuncture, and they just stick you full of needles and leave you in a room, and then that's that. When I work with someone, and this is where it is kind of shamanic, because I don't consider myself a shaman per se, but it's reminiscent of shamanic traditions where you're accompanying the soul of the person that you're working with. You're being a friend and a guide and a healing presence to help them advance their own process to where it is that they need to be going. And so it's a real privilege to be able to work with people on that level, and also to work with people in groups, you know, either in a meditation or a workshop or even this retreat I'm doing 4 times a year now.
Well, I love that. And I think you're absolutely right. It's like healing is complicated. People are complicated. And I loved what you were saying about respecting the other, you know, accompanying the other person. That's very respectful way to look at it. But I'm wondering if you could just explain, clear something up for me, because I see a lot of people doing these crystal grids now, and I don't really understand what they are or what they're for. Do you have a take on crystal grids?
I'm so glad you asked that. It is a very popular and hot topic, and the idea is basically this. You are trying to create or invoke or bring into your life a certain type of energy, and I, as the channel, have devised a grid whereby you can do that thing that you want to do. So you want a prosperity grid, you want a protection grid, you want, you know, any type of energy vortex to be created in your world, and I have the layout and maybe even the stones that will help you do that. I have actually shied away from that. I don't do grids per se. I do what I call constellations or layouts, and they are custom built for the person, and they are not meant to be a cure-all, this will fix your protection problem. There are certain stones that are certainly helpful in that process, but it really helps to know more about what it is you're trying to protect against, in order to identify what specific stones are going to be useful for that. And if you have all those stones and you want to engage actively in a meditation or a process that will produce more protection in your life, then, you know, we can go there. But there's no sort of one size fits all here, take this, put this on your living room floor and everything will be okay.
So cool. So
yeah,
if people
want that answers.
It did. Yeah, it was totally great. I love the way you explained it. And I'm just wondering if you can share your contact information, so if people want to connect with you. And you have a pretty fabulous online showroom for your crystals, right?
I do, but only a tiny fraction of my crystals are actually available for sale online. So it's really best to contact me and check out my main site, which is crystalconcentrics.com. I'll spell it out just because it's a little hard for people sometimes. It's crystal, which is obvious, and then CONCENTRICS.com. And you can reach me directly, Kyle, KYLE, at crystalconcentrics.com.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, Kyle. I so appreciate you being with us here tonight. That was great.
And
I hope we can talk again soon, as I'd love to have you back on the show.
No doubt. There's so much more to explore. So I really appreciate this opportunity, and it's been a blast.
Oh, thanks, honey. Thanks so much. And thank you guys all for joining us tonight on Empower Radio and the Miracle of Healing. And if you want to reach me, my website is just my name. So it's lisacampion.com. And I hope you drop on by my website too and come and visit me or join me on Facebook. And don't forget to just download this show. You can download it to any of the, it gets podcasted now, so you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and iHeartRadio. And that's kind of a miracle too. So thanks a lot for being on the Miracle of Healing tonight, and go out and go play with some crystals, and hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks. Bye.